Now, believe me, I know how hard that is. I still have the scars to show from 93 and 94 when I ran right into the buzzsaw of the insurance companies and the pharmaceutical companies. But I think I know better than anybody how we're going to get it done this time. We're going to form that coalition between business and labor because you're the ones sitting across from each other at the bargaining table trying to figure out how you're going to afford health care. Wouldn't it be nice to be bargaining about wages and working conditions and really give people a shot in the arm again because their health care would be taken care of? Well, I want to set another goal. I want to set a goal of energy security and independence. I am sick and tired of us sending billions of dollars to regimes overseas that then turn around and use that money against us and some of it to kill our young men and women in Iraq and Afghanistan. You know, this is a win-win for America. You know, if we have a new energy future where we're investing in homegrown energy, we will create millions of new jobs. And I know how we're going to fund it to start with. I've proposed a strategic energy fund, and I'm going to fund it by taking away the subsidies from the oil companies. It is time that they didn't get our tax dollars for their profits. And I'm going to ask some tough questions and use the bully pulpit. How can it be that the oil companies that have the highest profits in the history of the world have not been required to invest in their refinery capacity? So, isn't it a coincidence that all their refineries are not working up to speed, which is one of the reasons why gas prices are increasing at the pump? Well, I don't believe that for a minute. I remember when we had the Enron debacle, they were manipulating refinery openings and closing and telling people the refineries were offline. But you think about it. Germany gets a lot of its energy from solar, and they're not a tropical climate. Denmark gets a lot of its energy from wind. We need to be looking at everything. We need to look at solar, wind, biofuels, different sorts of ethanol, biodiesel. We need to figure out if we can get coal to be clean. Because we have a lot of coal in this country. Some of you are better from coal-producing states. And we can't just turn our back on coal, but we need to be smart about how we're going to get the carbon dioxide out of the coal so we don't add to the, you know, pollution from the greenhouse gases. America can do that, but we're sure not trying. I'd like to see demonstration projects and get out there and let's see what works. What are we afraid of? You know, we can have a new energy future that is good for our economy and at the same time clean up the environment, which is a real problem. You know, other countries like Great Britain, they decided to go into the Kyoto Climate Change Treaty. They've created more than 100,000 new jobs. You know, people are working to clean up power plants, working to weatherize homes. We can do this between the energy future we need and to deal with global climate change. But we need leadership in order to accomplish it. I also want to set some goals in education. You know, it is still the passport to opportunity, but I look at it in a slightly different way. First, with real young kids, I'd like to provide an opportunity for kids from disadvantaged families to go to preschool so they get better prepared. Because a lot of these kids, they get to school, frankly, they will never catch up, and they will end up dropping out, and they will not be productive citizens. Then we got to make college more affordable. I am sick about these college loan scandals that are going on. And, you know, I remember when I was going to a college a long time ago, I went to my father and he said, look, we've saved enough money for tuition, room and board, but if you want to buy a book, you got to earn the money. And that was fine because I'd worked since I was 13. And then I decided I wanted to go to law school, so I went back and told him, he said, well, that wasn't part of the deal. You got to figure out how you're going to pay for that yourself. Well, I worked, obviously, but one of the ways I paid for it was with low-interest government loans. I didn't have to worry about some student loan company ripping me off. I could go to the government and get a low-interest loan and get it paid back and not go into debt. You know, last year we had more bankruptcies than college graduates in America. So there's something wrong about that picture. But, you know, it's also important we send a clear message. Jim and I were talking about this. A lot of the jobs we need done in America, you don't and you shouldn't have to feel like you go to college for. It is time we started respecting the work that keeps the country going. And we are going to need a lot of skilled workers, a lot of mechanics and other skilled workers. And I think between looking hard at our high schools, looking at our community colleges, we need a national effort to raise the visibility and, frankly, the status and respect. Because if I'm stranded on a desert island, I'll tell you, I want people with me who actually know how to build something and fix things. And I think it's time we started talking about giving young people a chance to do that again. I'd like to work with the machinists to figure out what we can do even now before I'm president to start setting that up, because I don't want to wait. I want us to send that message now. You know, we're starting all these charter schools, and I support that. I believe in public school choice. Well, let's set up some charter schools that are machinist charter schools. And Jim has a school in Brooklyn where we, you know, train people to be mechanics, but then a lot of them, you know, they don't go into the business. You know, for all kinds of reasons. I know we can do a better job. I also want to set a goal of reforming this government. I am sick of the culture of corruption and cronyism that has stalked Washington for the last 6 years. It is time we send a clear message. We're going to start with the novel idea about let's appoint qualified people to do the jobs that we ask them to do in the government. The clearest example is under the Clinton administration, somebody named James Lee Witt never went to college but knew how to drive a backhoe. He actually was in charge of FEMA. And everywhere he went, he could get right on those machines. He could show people what needed to be done. He could inspire confidence because he'd been there and he'd done it, because he'd been Bill's emergency coordinator in Arkansas. Stepped into the job and I think did a great job. Who do we get under this administration? Somebody who'd been the president of the International Arabian Horse Association. Now, frankly, I think that's a big leap for somebody. You know, maybe if you have to rescue horses, perhaps. But otherwise, we saw what happened with Katrina and the devastation along the Gulf Coast. We're also going to end these no-bid contracts. I am sick of Halliburton and the others reaping billions of dollars at our expense. Set another goal where I'm actually going to appoint people who are pro-labor to labor positions, like the Department of Labor and the National Labor Relations Board. We should start by ending this administration's practice of harassing labor organizations. You know exactly what I mean. They treat our unions with contempt and disrespect. Well, those days are going to end when I'm in the White House. We're going to have a workplace that is going to be safer because we're actually going to monitor the workplaces. We're going to get back to making sure people can count on the federal government to protect them from unsafe working conditions. And we're going to pass, and I will sign, card check, because it is going to be essential to any kind of future organizing.